This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Our speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoen.
We continue our series on the book of Nehemiah, coming now to chapter 2, with our theme being this time, learning from Nehemiah in living for God's praise. Nehemiah served God, you will notice, in a real way, and in a resolute way, and in a radiant way. We can see this as we, in chapter 2, find Nehemiah meeting with the king of Persia, King Artaxerxes, and we see him coming to Jerusalem and studying the situation there, and then rallying the people behind the plan to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. It is an exciting chapter, really. Let me read now just the first 10 verses of the chapter. Listen to God's word. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lies waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertained to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Dear listener, there is so much to glean from this scripture as we just read it. But for this time, we will show just how Nehemiah surely served God in a real way. That is, genuinely so, from his heart, you might say. This comes out even when you only think about how Nehemiah had been in prayer already for months after hearing about the sad situation in Jerusalem. He was asking God in mercy to intervene somehow, some way. Well, while in prayer about this, Nehemiah himself becomes convinced that God was calling him to give himself up to help build the broken down walls in Jerusalem. And he was ready to go, God helping him. Nehemiah was a godly man who would do this work for the glory of God, as verse 17 suggests, that we be no more a reproach or a disgrace. Verse 17 states too how the enemy saw to their dismay that there was come a man to seek the welfare or well-being of the children of Israel. In other words, clearly from chapter 2 we learn Nehemiah was not out now for personal fame or gain in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, but he felt compelled for the glory of God and the good of his people to give himself in service to God's praise as God would call and equip him to do so. Nehemiah was a genuine godly man, a believer whose faith in God was for real. We saw last time from verse 11 of chapter 1 how that Nehemiah was also so strengthened in prayer, gaining confidence in God and his ways. For through prayer, Nehemiah was given to see how even the great world ruler, King Artaxerxes, was just another man before the Lord. our biggest challenge has become so much smaller and made their true size when God is our help and confidence. Nehemiah could go forward in boldness when he realized one plus God is a majority. And what should he fear? Why did Nehemiah have to fear this king at all, you might ask, since he had daily contact with him as his cupbearer? Well, Nehemiah was soon to ask the king for a leave of absence to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls there. And chapter 2 tells us about this. And the reasons that could make him so nervous and afraid to ask the king this request is that, for one, he was just a Jewish servant and slave, really, in Persia. But secondly, the king, indeed, most likely this very same King Artaxerxes, had some years beforehand ordered that the walls of Jerusalem not be rebuilt until such time as he would say. You can read this in Ezra 4, verse 21. So Nehemiah was about to ask the king for a request that the same king had formerly decided negatively upon. And who was Nehemiah to think that he could change one of the laws of the Medes and Persians when laws of those kings were considered to be set in stone, as it were? Besides all this, Nehemiah's request to leave and go to Jerusalem to work there would mean a leave of absence that would be for an extended period of time. Indeed, a period that could be for years. Chapter 5, verse 14 mentions even 12 years Nehemiah served with his first appointment in Jerusalem. Can you not understand then that this man of God wanted God's favor and assurance for himself before he would step forward and ask the king to send him to Jerusalem? Do you live too in such daily humble dependency on God? Have you learned, as Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, verse 5, "Without me ye can do nothing"? Nehemiah showed real godliness too, in that he was a person who did not only pray, but also planned and worked himself in God's service as God enabled him, as God gave him responsibilities. There is with Nehemiah and his life story such a great balance with him between realizing dependency on the Lord and his help and recognizing his own responsibilities in life. It is very striking how Nehemiah had done his homework before coming to the king to make request to leave. He had checked out what he had to do and the preparations needed for a trip to Jerusalem and for his taking up the work there. Nehemiah followed through in his prayer life, asking for God's blessings, with him also himself doing his best also to be a blessing. People that are not genuine in the faith will say, on the one hand, "It's all up to God. What can I do about it?" Or on the other hand, there are those who will say, "It's all up to me how things go. What does God have to do with anything?" But when you are a true believer, and you will live in God's service for real, genuinely so, you know true blessing and being a blessing really is all dependent on God. But at the same time, we have to take seriously also all our responsibilities, as God gives us the opportunity to do what we can. Learning from Nehemiah for living to God's praise. Nehemiah lived for God for real. Can you see that with me in the ways I pointed out from the text so far? What I also very much need to and want to point out from the text is how God is so out for our help when we seek to serve Him and His cause from our hearts and genuinely so. No one seeks and follows the Lord truly in vain. Notice how this comes out in our text. The day came that Nehemiah would approach the king and make his request to go to Jerusalem. But with Nehemiah so absorbed with this matter, it showed on his face. And the king asked him what was wrong and why his face was looking sad, literally bad looking. The king could detect, even before Nehemiah had requested anything, that something was not right with Nehemiah. And the king asks about it, maybe out of concern for Nehemiah, but possibly also out of concern for himself. For if a cupbearer was not his normal self, was there perhaps some plot in the works, some plot even on the king's life? Now I say, we see Nehemiah being a follower of God so for real, in that when the time came for his question to the king, we notice he began to struggle, and we are told with the king's question to Nehemiah, he in fact became very afraid. I thought to myself, by the way, how typical this can be of ourselves. One moment you can have such confidence in God's way and what you have to do and hope to do, also perhaps in approaching someone, but then when you actually go to do so, you begin to lose your confidence and you become afraid and hesitant. Have you not had that same experience too? Indeed, perhaps many times over. But then our text tells us Nehemiah's solution in his fears, namely, he prayed to the Lord. And through prayer he regained his confidence and boldness. Indeed, as we shall see, did he ever. What you need to see with me now, however, is how the Lord actually guided these events for Nehemiah, helping him along in the whole plan he would follow. The fact is, the king's question about Nehemiah's sad-looking face actually allowed Nehemiah to bring the whole matter on his heart before the king. Nehemiah probably had thought long and hard how he would actually approach the king about the matter at hand. But the king's question got it all out on the table, as it were, before Nehemiah even knew it. You see, God, with the king's question, opened the door for Nehemiah to unburden himself to the king. When you study the passage too, you also see how God gave Nehemiah great tact and diplomacy in speaking to the king. Nehemiah never once speaks directly about the broken down walls of the city of Jerusalem. He never even mentions the city's name once. Yet all the while, both understand that is what is being spoken about. Can we not say too that the queen being present with the king, as verse 6 states, when Nehemiah makes his request, may have been by God's providence a contributing factor in the king's favorable response to Nehemiah. We cannot be definite if she was an influence for Nehemiah's benefit, but the text surely suggests she may have been. Otherwise, why would it even be included in the text? Remember, too, what an influence for the good of God's people Queen Esther was on the king Ahasuerus many years prior to this time. All in all, what is clear from the text is when you serve God for real, as Nehemiah also did, you can expect, too, that God will be there for real, in a great way, in a saving help, with his good hand of blessing upon you. You could think of our text passage as relating this encouraging news. See God in his service for real for us, even as we will live in his service genuinely so to him and for his honor. Is this not something so true in the full revelation of the gospel with Jesus Christ as the once crucified and now risen and ascended Savior in glory? Jesus Christ is an everlasting Savior and Lord, always mighty to save, ready to help, and wonderful in his power and care for as many as depend on him and call to him. Never are you put to shame trusting in him and calling on him in spirit and in truth. Nehemiah so experienced God for real, even as he lived to follow and serve God for real. Are you one who with Nehemiah seeks and serves God from the heart and with all your heart? For sure, as the book of Nehemiah proves, it is the only way of being truly blessed and of being a great blessing too. May our study of Nehemiah so lead you and me in the way of true faith and godliness, living to God's praise, looking unto the Lord, even as Nehemiah did in his day. May God so bless his word to all who hear it. Amen.
If you would like a free printed copy of this message for yourself or a friend, write to Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9698 Epp Drive, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. The postal code is V2P6N6. That's V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, you can go to frcna.org. Again, frcna.org on the internet. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth radio broadcast.